As we get ready to wrap up this trading week, how are things looking right now when it comes to what we see in the corn and soybeans? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Jeff Peterson is joining us today with Heartland Farm Partners. So if you look at corn and beans this week, Jeff, how would you kind of describe what we're seeing in the market at this point?
Well, what's interesting about that is we're in always kind of that awkward time of year in here where we're, you know, coming off of harvest and we've now got the November WASDE report behind us. And now we know we won't see any type of updates on yield in the December report. And everybody's anticipating that we'll see some maybe smaller yields out there in January. But sitting in here right now, you know, every market's just kind of searching for what that next, you know, move is. And so far on the bean side, we pulled this market back down some, same thing on the corn side. And if you kind of look at starting first on the speculative side, you've got the corn funds, you know, short roughly about 75,000 contracts. Now, it's going to take a little while to get updated, you know, get the updates from CFTC. Those reports normally come out on Friday, but it's going to take us probably out into January before we really know where the true position's at. These are just based off estimates. And then on soybean side, they're, you know, long about 139,000 contracts. But it's trying to digest the report and see, you know, the next steps going forward. It's watching South American weather very closely. It's watching what the overall pace is of the Chinese purchases on beans and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what's our demand look like here until we're able to get, you know, some new information a little further out on what the yields are, Susan.
Well, you look at that and look at all the factors that have been weighing in. It's been an interesting trade week, to say the least. Chinese purchases. Today was the first day we didn't see any flash sales coming, but I think it built just a smidge of excitement amongst the market trade.
Yeah, it sure has. You know, if you think about it, they went ahead and talked about it happening, and we're seeing it happening. Our estimations would be a couple million metric tons, maybe so, you know, so far out of the 12 million. So you're about 17% of the way there. I think the one thing that's weighing on the bean market a little bit, though, is just the fact that, you know, yes, we're getting some purchases. They're not probably coming as fast as they'd like to see. We're not seeing any shipments yet. And everybody's questioning for sure, well, are these purchases going to be put on the books? These sales going to be put on the books? But then will they actually get shipped? So I think that's one of the items that's weighing on this market a little bit right now, too.
Well, you know, Jeff, it's kind of interesting because here at NAFB during the convention, the chatter, especially in the media room, was, you know, those ships have not pulled up. They haven't been filled and they haven't left ports yet. So there's a lot of what ifs waiting on the soybean opportunities.
Well, there really is, you know, because as you go over and we're seeing some show up, we really feel a lot better about it, you know, once we start seeing shipments go out. So the fortunate part through the process, you know, it's great to have the government back up and going now. At least our flash sales that we're getting, you know, that's showing us on a daily basis. You know, if there's been anything from the day before that would have been purchased, that'd be over 100,000 metric tons. You know, that's getting reported. And it'll be nice once we do get caught up on the weekly export sales. But just digging into the inspections a little bit, and you brought up a good point on soybeans. You know, this last week we had about 43.2 million bushels of soybeans that were exported out. Now, to give you an idea, we only need about 30.8 million bushels to hit USDA's, you know, current target. And our current target would be 1.635 billion bushels. But year to date, so we go back to September 1st through now, we're down about 42.5%. USDA says we're going to be down about 12.8%. And so when we don't have China in the mix taking those big amounts that we normally expect this time of year, even though they've been buying stuff, they're not taking the shipments, you know, our weekly export inspections just don't look, you know, that great. But they're good enough. And the other positive part, as we dig deeper into the numbers and look back to last year, I would say overall there's probably the countries other than China have probably picked up about 100 million bushels more than what they would have last year, you know, this time. That's probably over, at this time, 40% more than last year they would have physically bought. So there are countries stepping up. And I think that helps get some people a little bit more comfortable with where, you know, exactly we'll end up on export sales.
So what do you think demand is like right now for both corn and soybeans?
Yeah, so as we dig into the numbers, we had some really positive numbers on the NAFO crush numbers, you know, earlier. As a matter of fact, earlier this week, all-time record for the month and also for overall all months at 227.6 million bushels. And to kind of put that in perspective, you know, that's up 13.8% compared to last year. Year-to-date crush from September 1st, you know, through October, up 12.8% versus last year. USDA says we're only going to be up about 4.5%. So crush is really good. And in future reports, I think we could even bring that crush number a little higher than what USDA has it. And then you move over to corn, and export sales are just phenomenal. And we're also seeing great shipments. You know, shipments would have been 80.8 million metric tons or 80.8 million bushels this last week. We only need about 60 million, and it's just like soybeans and corn kind of switched. We're getting the type of numbers that normally we'd see kind of on the soybean side, but we're getting it in corn. Year to date, we're up about 73% on shipments compared to a year ago. USDA says we're only going to be up about 8.7%. You know, and that's what caused them to increase the export sales number in this last WASDE report. Now, we won't maintain this level. We know we're getting shipments out the door. We know we're competitive on price. We know as we go forward down the road, this will slow down, but so far, you know, it's been really good. Ethanol demand is hanging in there good. You know, we're running near pace on that. So that's turning out really well. So overall demand, you know, besides soybean export sales, really looks pretty good at this time.
What about weather? I mean, South America, we know that they've had some interesting amounts of rain, but just like everything, it ebbs and flows as to who's going to receive that precipitation. What are you seeing right now?
Yeah, you're exactly right. There's pockets. You know, normally with a weak La Nina setup like what we've got right now, the southern part of Brazil should be receiving the dryness. But, you know, Mato Grosso's had some dryness across there. And then you've got a band of wetness, and then you get back into some dryness in the southern part of Brazil that does spill on and down to Argentina. And I don't think it's going to cause a big deal on the soybean yields, but what it's done is spread out their planting. Last year was an extremely slow planting pace because of how dry they were. This year actually has got a little bit slower. But the thing we have to remember about that is that there was really good planting early in the season. They got off to a good start. So as we go forward, I think the bigger impact that could potentially be is that there's going to be probably about 30% of that safrina corn crop that could get planted outside of what you'd have as your optimal window. Now, we heard that story last year, but yet they ended up with some really good yields on the safrina corn. But the difference last year is that we had abnormally wet conditions that held around after May into June, even some decent showers or some showers that showed up into July that allowed them to really pull some pretty good yields. Had we've had the normal type of dry down on that safrina crop where it starts dropping off in moisture in April, then on into May, yields wouldn't look so good. And I think that's one thing that is sitting in the mind of some traders is that, but what will the safrina crop be based on the conditions we have now?
Do you see as corn and beans, I mean, we're moving into kind of the final stretch of 2025, which is hard to believe. What are you seeing as what we should be focusing on in these last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'd say as we focus in here, we want to watch very closely. How do we continue to see the purchases or the sales out of the U.S., purchases by China on the soybean side? We also want to watch our export inspections very close on the soybean side to see how that goes. We also want to continue to hear out there, you know, what are we hearing from the yield side? Even though we won't really get any updates here in December, we know we still want to try to sort through what we think the yields end up being when USDA comes out with their final numbers in January. And then on top of that, we want to watch that South American weather extremely close and see if it's going to have an impact on the amount of soybeans that are produced, but more importantly, what's it going to do for that safrina crop. I think those are some of the main things we're going to watch.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much. Jeff Peterson joining us today. Jeff is with Heartland Farm Partners. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the market wrap-up on a Friday from the NAFB convention in Kansas City. You're listening to the American Ag Network.